Do people go to hell because they don't believe in God? The answer might surprise you. Stay tuned and find out on Unapologetic. The existence and doctrine of hell makes many people uncomfortable. And I'm one of those people. It is one of the areas of Christianity that I don't like and that I'm not comfortable with. Now, some people have taken their discomfort with the Bible's teaching on the existence of hell, and this has led them to say that hell doesn't exist, or that a loving God could never send someone to hell for not believing in him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We don't have enough time to cover, does hell exist, does it not? But I think it's sufficient to say that the church has long upheld the existence of hell as eternal conscious punishment because the Bible is extremely strong in its teaching that hell exists and is a place where people go because of their crimes that are committed against a sovereign God. So why do people go to hell? Well, frankly, people go to hell because of their sin. And Romans 3:23 teaches that everyone has sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. And the payoff for that sin is death, spiritual separation from God. Jesus actually talks more about hell than he does about heaven. So these crimes, this sin that we commit against God requires punishment. God is a just judge, a just ruler, and justice requires crime to be punished. Now, people can't save themselves. No one can ever be good enough to overcome their sin. If they could, then there's no reason for God to send Jesus. Now, this idea that people can be good enough on their own, this is actually at the heart of the Mormon gospel. Jesus' grace is only applied to your account on Mormonism's view once you've done all you can on your own, once you have kicked all of your sin to the curb, then Christ's sacrifice is applied to your account. But if you can be perfect like that, why do you even need Jesus? That's a diversion for another time. But what Christianity teaches is that people can't actually save themselves. No one can ever be good enough. Jesus said, "The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. The one who rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him." Jesus also said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And lastly, in Acts, Peter says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, that has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby people must be saved." So what is required for salvation? What is required to not go to hell? Well, believing in Christ and confessing him as Lord is required. And this is what we see in Romans 10. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, how are they to call on one they have not believed in? And how are they to believe in one they have not heard of? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How timely is the arrival of those who proclaim the good news." But not all have obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Consequently, faith comes through what is heard, and what is heard comes through the preached word of Christ. Consequently, faith comes through what is heard, and what is heard comes through the preached word of Christ. What Paul does here, especially in that one sentence, is exclude salvation apart from believing the gospel and believing in Christ. There's no other way given among men under heaven where people can be saved but through the preached word of Christ. So we see that for salvation, faith in Christ is required. And apart from faith in Christ, a person is justly punished by a sovereign God. The question isn't, is sin going to be punished? The Christian worldview is extremely clear and strong on that point. Sin will always be punished. The question is, who is going to be punished? Are people going to pay for their own sins, or is Jesus going to pay for their sin? So when people complain about the evil in the world and all of the things that God doesn't stop, all of the sin and suffering and evil that God appears not to do anything with, Christianity can take a very strong response to that and say, no, all sin will be punished. But the question is, who will be punished for that sin? Will Jesus bear the burden for that person's sin, or will the person themselves bear their own burden? So what we see is people need to know the gospel. The only way to get to heaven, the only way to miss hell, if you will, is through salvation, through believing and faith that Christ is a Savior and Lord. Now, some people want to say that there's another way. There's a parallel path because some people haven't heard the gospel. So what about those people? What about people who didn't have a chance? And oftentimes, a Christian will bring up Romans 1, which says the following: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Because what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal nature and divine power, have been clearly seen, because they are understood through what has been made. So, people are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for an image resembling mortal beings or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles." So what is often said is that Paul in this passage, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that God has made plain his existence to people. See, there's another way for people to know about God and come to salvation apart from Christ. Except all of that, except the first sentence, is not true. God has made plain his existence to people, but unless those people know of Christ and confess him as Lord and believe that God the Father raised him from the dead, as Romans 10 says, there's no salvation there. So natural revelation, this natural world, everything apart from the Bible, is enough for someone to know God exists and hence to be condemned for their sin. But it's not enough for salvation. That passage in Romans does not even leave that as an option. Special revelation is needed in order to be saved. And by special revelation, I mean the Bible. I mean words directly from God about himself. If you don't know about Jesus, you can't be a Christian. There's Christ in the word Christian. And if no Christ, no Christian. So we need to look at the weight of Scripture when we come to conclusions on a topic or an issue. We can't just go with what feels nice. I mean, it feels nice to say, well, that person in Africa who's never heard about Jesus can look up at the stars and become a Christian. That sounds nice, but it's wrong. We need to form our perspectives and our doctrines not on what feels good, but on careful study of Scripture, where Scripture is our authority, not our feelings. Now, people are punished because they commit sinful acts that they wanted to do. And Paul is also clear in Romans that these people knew their sinful acts were wrong, because he even says the Gentiles sinned and knew right from wrong, though, even though they didn't have the law. They didn't have divine revelation. What they had was the law written on their hearts, he says in Romans 2:15. Here's the key point. People are not punished because they didn't believe in God. People are punished because of their sin. And I know that's hard for some people to understand, but that's exactly what it is. People aren't punished for disbelief in God or a lack of belief in God. They are punished because of the things they have done wrong. Wrongdoing deserves punishment. Now, because of their wrongdoing, their only hope to escape punishment is faith in Christ. But it's not the lack of faith in Christ that got them in the hot water to begin with. It was their sin. Now, oftentimes this still isn't satisfactory to people, and it's certainly not emotionally satisfying. But here's an example that has been very helpful for me and helping me understand this. Our justice system has a judge. It has someone who's said to be guilty, the defendant. And let's just use the example of a murder, where the murder was caught on camera. There is incontrovertible evidence that this person committed the murder, and he's in the courtroom, okay? And the judge finds him guilty and is going to sentence him to death. Is it just for that judge to sentence him to death? Yes. If that's the law of the land and the death penalty or capital punishment is in place there, then it would be just for him to do that. Now here's the question. Does that judge have to first offer that convicted man a pardon before the judge is justified in sentencing him to death? No. A pardon means you get to go free. You don't have to pay for your crime. But the only area where people want to say it's not fair for a judge to punish someone for their crime unless he first offers them a pardon is salvation, with the ultimate judge of God and the ultimate crime being a crime committed against a sovereign, perfect God. So I hope this example makes it a little easier to see that God doesn't have to offer people a pardon before he's justified in punishing them for their sin. He doesn't first have to offer them Christ, because they did what they wanted and they knew what they wanted was wrong when they did it. Now, oftentimes, like I said, our feelings don't tell us that this feels good or that it's even true, but our feelings often don't correctly inform us about the truthfulness of our circumstances. For instance, if a doctor were to tell you you had cancer, that's not going to feel good, but that bad feeling doesn't mean the doctor was wrong. So we need to keep our feelings in check by our intellect, by reason, correctly informed and contributed from Scripture. Scripture is the authority, not our feelings. And when we get those out of order, so many wrong ideas and doctrines flow out of that. But I hope what you've seen throughout this whole podcast so far is that what is central and necessary is sharing the gospel. Without the gospel, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the gospel, people do not come to give God the glory he is due. And without sharing the gospel, Christians are in disobedience to God, because he has commanded us to go and tell and share about him, not just to go and do good works, but to go and tell the truth. How will they know if they haven't heard? Well, they need to be preached to. It's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, this idea of share the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. Well, I don't think he actually said that, but that is a horrible idea. Horrible. Because people can't get saved through loving your neighbor. You can't love someone into heaven if you don't preach the gospel of Christ. And by preach, I just mean share, accurately present what Scripture has to say. People have no chance of missing hell and going to heaven and giving God the glory he is due. So yes, how we live should certainly be a testimony to the gospel, to who Christ is. However, we need to share that gospel with words that accurately represent the truthfulness of the gospel in order for people to come to faith in Christ. God gave us the honor and responsibility of being the ones to share his word, and we need to do it. But the other takeaway is that it's not unfair for God to punish people for doing things they wanted to do that they knew were wrong without first offering them a pardon. Grace, by definition, is undeserved. But what some people want to do is say God has to show it to people, has to do something that's undeserved. That seems like a contradiction in terms. I hope this podcast has been helpful. I hope you've learned something today, been able to think a little more clearly about this. I think there's something in here for everyone, because there are quite a few Christians who think that people can get saved apart from divine revelation. They can just get saved by nature, and that's not true. There are other people who believe that God is just for punishing people, but aren't always certain of how to explain that to other people. I hope this podcast has been helpful, and I look forward to spending this time with you next week on Unapologetic.